If it were to be a normal address, I would invoke the blessings of Goddess Sharada Parameshwari and would always start by saying it gives me great pleasure. I think people would have seen me or listened to me will say, oh, this man, standard opening innings. You will always start by saying, it gives me great pleasure. But I must confess, it does not give me any pleasure to be around when I am drenched and wetted by a shower of encomiums, deserved or otherwise, and still sit down to listen to them. It is extremely difficult that I suffer this pain and endurance, but far more than this pain and endurance is the pleasure and the privilege of the company of my friends, my well-wishers and co-workers in this journey through life. Vibhishana tells Ravana, Sulabha Purusharajan Satatam Priyavadinaha Apriyasa Vaktascha Vakta Shotacha Durlabaha. Vibhishana was his brother, but a very learned man. He tells the king, O king, Sulabha Purusharajan, it is very easy to get people who will constantly praise you, will always praise you. But to those who speak the unpleasant truth, there are neither speakers nor listeners. And that has become indeed rare. So what is it that I can speak on an occasion like this? This is an occasion where love and affection is overflowing. So in such an occasion, people would say, civility demands that you speak a likable speech. Have you ever wondered what could be the definition of a likable speech? And I am giving you a definition. Not mine, but somebody else's. A speech that is full of wit and humor, which keeps the hearer grinning, provided the end is closer to the beginning. So if I were to give a very likable speech, it can only be thank you. There the end and the beginning are in the same sentence. But then, that would be an outrage to my own modesty. And more importantly, this love and affection that you all have showered by having this function. I have never celebrated any milestone in life, nor would believe that they are worthy of celebration. But the fact that when people come together to say that the least we expect of you is to you just come, I think that I can never deny to my friends and well-wishers, and therefore I thought it fit to come over here. I think I came to the South Indian Education Society in the year 1974. That was the year the SIS High School Students Association was raising funds for its alma mater. And I came as the honorary secretary of that association. We raised funds and soon I got merged into that institution and I lost my identity. In 1980, I became a member of the society. In 82, I became a member of its managing council. And from 1986 onwards, for a continuous period of 28 years, except a short interlude, an intermission I could call of 4 or 5 months, I've been in the thick of the activities and the affairs of the South Indian Education Society. I came to the Shanmukhan Sabha in the year 1997. As an young boy, I used to go there. But it was in 1997 for the first time I came into that institution. And by 2000, I became a trustee of that institution. By 2002, took on the mantle of leadership of that institution. And for 12 long years, I have been presiding over the destiny of that institution. I have always wondered when people attribute it to you to say, no, no, it's because of you that these two institutions have grown. And I should tell you my experience has been otherwise. The people with whom I have worked during my lifetime, I don't think I can forget them. Men of character, men of intellect, men of mind, where matter matters nothing for them. Men who have given everything in life for a cause. shining examples for any society. But I think if it has washed on me, it has come on to me, it is thanks to them. They gave it. I have not been born with all these things. I can never forget Mr. T.S. Narayan. Because he was one Manasika guru and who then became a guru. He taught you how to write. He tells you how to deal with the public. Despite the fact that he was a man of short temper, but he was able to teach you how to drown your temper. And that was he. And I always used to wonder, Chidambaram is over here, and Mr. P. Raman. Even at that young age, I used to command, and I used to order. The SIS College of Commerce and Economics was to be inaugurated. And I had gone to Delhi and spoke to the president, and he said, I am coming. I thought he will not come. But Dr. Sharma said he is going to come. And the date that was given was hardly around 14 or 15 days from the day I had gone to Delhi. When I came back, I went straight to Raman's house and told Raman, he has given only 14 or 15 days, we have to complete this, get the occupation, commencement and completion certificate. Because the president, if he comes, you need all these protocols. And the first word Mr. Raman said was, from today, let us not sleep in our houses. Let us work in the college itself. And he used to bring a big dabba at 9 o'clock at night for all of us who were working. Ishwar is not around over here, otherwise you will remember those days. And in a record time, that college was constructed, kept ready, and people could not believe when Dr. Sharma came. And that was the time the governor came, the ministers came, all came, and suddenly SIS skyrocketed into visibility. But little would people have known that the likes of Mr. Raman, the likes of Mr. Ishwar or Chidambaram, or many of them, the people who succeeded the previous generation, would have made the difference. But then it's always good, because everything is credited to a leader. And generally there is fear of debiting a leader for the failures. And they will go and say, no, he would have done it, but these people would have done that. This is the advantage of leading an institution of like-minded people. And therefore all the glory that has come onto these institutions have come onto my shoulders. But one thing is very clear. I have never been a leader in that sense of the term. I have always been telling people, do not walk behind me, I will not lead you. Do not walk ahead of me, I will not follow you. Walk beside me, together we shall work and make a difference. And we have always ensured that together we will make a difference, and that's what we have done all along. And all of our activities have been grounded in compassion. If singularly I feel happy at times, occasionally, something good has been done, I have imputed this compassion in the mind of everyone. Even to those hard nuts, I have told them, I think it's time for us to live for others. This is a commercial society. We are going through a phase in life where our conscience has been mortgaged. Crass commercialization has completely negated the values of life, and most of us today either live for ourselves and our family, and at best are charitable to our relatives. But he alone lives who lives for others. Yasmin jivati jivanti dina mitra bandhavah parasparam jivitam tasmai atmartho kona jivati. Who does not live for himself? I live for myself, you live for yourself. Everyone lives for himself, but he alone lives who lives for others. And it is this attitude that has been imbibed into people who take time out of their families and come to do public work. They deny the families the pleasure and the privilege of that association, but give more to the society. And therefore at the end of the day, when they draw the balance sheet, the family is also happy. The man is also happy that something good has been done. This is the greatness of public work. And that's what we have practiced all these days. Whether it is these two institutions or countless number of institutions which have come under the grace of our association, I should tell you they have grown by leaps and bounds over these years. I could never fathom out what they were when we came in and what they are today. Any of those institutions. In fact, when we were trying to do a project as to find out what has happened to the several institutions that we have supported, not only in terms of money, but in terms of managerial skills, I was amazed at the way people were speaking and of the institutions which have become too big by any standards. So, the message that comes out very clearly is, I think we have a duty to do. We have come onto this earth with a responsibility. A responsibility that is not just to clock our time and then demise one day when none on the earth will be worried about it. So much we do for ourselves and for our friends and relations. But have we ever realized what is it when the last breath goes out of your body? Persons whom you adore, whom you worship, persons who have been part of you, who have been part of your breath, disown your very name the moment you are declared dead. The name that used to ring in people is no longer heard. And the common phrases that we hear all through our life is, bring the body, lower the body, wash the body, keep the body, take the body. So a person with name and identity, a man who has grown in life on the strength of his name, when the end comes, is just a body. So the message is very clear. Inspire yourself to speak of the Creator and not the creation. And when you remember the Creator, then even this body will have life. Because then Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam will ring in you and you know that a rebirth can come. This is what we have practiced all during your lifetime. I can go on. In fact, I jokingly told him, if you all speak for 1 hour, I'll speak for 2 hours. I could have become a teacher in motivation to speak to you on all those factors that have gone to help us to build various societies all over the country. But I should tell you one thing. I received all my samskaras from my parents. I don't think anybody can ever claim that his parents were different, but he is different. I think it is the genes that transfers to you what comes from the parents. And I was fortunate to be in the company of people who were better than me. If I had surrounded myself with people lesser mortals than me, I would have been like anybody else. But I think I was distinctly fortunate in life that I came into contact with people who were greatly knowledgeable, people who were intelligent, people who were scholars, people who were religious, people who were great scientists. And therefore, if elements of those are washed onto you, it is because of them, it is because of their association. And on an occasion like this, when you all have celebrated a milestone and declared me as old, I can assure you one thing, I am not going to be cowed down. Yes, I am not going to be cowed down that I am going to look up to the Himalayas. 60 is the youth of old age. I am still young to pursue the missions in life that are still left to be done. So I am not cowed down by these celebrations. These celebrations are but a small interlude. These are the diversions that we require in life to make life exciting and pleasant. And I think who would take all these things every day? Once in a while a change will come. There is some pleasure of being together. This, I think the garb of this milestone celebration, the true thing is, it is a moment of togetherness. Life is just not moments. It is also milestones. But I want to tell you, life just can't be milestones. If we think of this day again and again for the rest of our life, life will vanish. So life is to go on. We have to redouble our energies. So milestones like this are a renewal of our commitment, a renewal of our beliefs that yes, we need Godspeed. There is 1 year less in the residual life that is left over to us, that it is time to run faster. The goalpost is visible, and therefore run as fast as you can to reach that post. As I come to the end of my address today, the briefest in recent times, I am tempted to think of this Irish blessings. Until we meet again, may the Lord hold all of us in His hallowed hands. Thank you.
And Shankar says that he is not old. We have never said he is old. If you have read my invitation, what does it say? He has turned 23 times in his life, for the third time. So let him not be under the illusion that he is old. He is 20 years. We treat you as a young man. Understand that.
I will tell you something. At the age of 20, we worry about what others think of us. At the age of 40, we care a damn for what people think about us, because there's a status. I am working, I am employed, I've got a family. At 60, we come to realize that nobody has been thinking about us. So whether you think about me or not, I think I'm inescapable. And let me tell you one thing, that all through my life journey till today, I have experienced both love and hatred. As a stickler for discipline, and with a penchant for details, I earned the wrath of some people because they are clumsy, they would never get to details. But throw that aside. Whether you love me or hate me, both are advantages. Love me, I am in your heart. Hate me, I am in your mind. But remember one thing, I am mind-blowing. So it's better you keep me in your heart.